You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Hello, this is not James Edwards. Stephanie says that the intro said James Edwards is going to be here. James is going to be here in the third hour. He's going to be here with Mark Weber. I'll tell you more about that later, but he'll be here with Mark Weber from the Institute for Historical Revision. And for this hour, I am at the helm of the CSS Cesspool. I'm very proud to be here, very glad to be here on this Memorial Day weekend. I hope you have big plans for a relaxing and a fulfilling weekend. Mine will be filled with honeydew jobs and such, but I will do what I can to serve the true intent of Memorial Day without succumbing to some sort of patriotard surge. Look, folks, it's great to be a cesspool in. It truly is. I am so proud to be here tonight. I'm so proud of the emails that I get from y'all. And I've said it before, but the best thing about being a political cesspool co-host is the people with whom I get to deal. And your emails are so encouraging, and you're just a very fine audience. God bless y'all. I'm proud to be associated with you. Well, with that said, let's get on to the topic at hand. This whole hour, I'm plan on talking about one subject, and it's going to be a rather meandering path. You have to stay with me, but in the end, I'm sure you'll see that there is a thread uniting all of it. Just think of it as a bundle of flowers, and the only thing uniting them is the ribbon that I'm tying around them. Sounds poetic, doesn't it? Well, that's exactly what we're going to talk about tonight, poetry and using words. I titled it The Wrong Side of History. And by the way, what I'm going to be saying tonight will probably be on the Cesspool blog within the next couple of days. I've written it up as an essay, still working out some of the bugs, but you'll get a transcript, basically, of what I'm going to be talking about. So let's get to it, shall we? The Wrong Side of History. You got to hand it to the so-called progressive left. They know how to turn a phrase when they like something that most other folks don't, and when they don't like something that most other folks do. They apply some casuistry and rhetorical shenanigans, and they come up with some snappy quip or catchy name that really amounts to calling evil good and good evil. For example, Americans have a constitutionally guaranteed right to possess and use firearms to provide food and safety for themselves and their families, something that is inarguably good and that most Americans support. But that progressive leftists think is evil and desperately want to repeal. To justify the repeal, they say the Constitution was designed to be a living document that can change with the time. Wow, a living document. That sounds beautiful, even poetic, doesn't it? Now, this kind of thing has been the modus operandi of leftists for a long time. For decades, the abortion movement owned the practice of cranking out phrases and slogans. A man called Dr. Bernard Nathanson was one of the founders of the National Abortion and Reproductive Rights Action League, or NARAL, N-A-R-A-L. That organization has had a couple of name changes, and I think now they call themselves NARAL Pro-Choice America. Anyhow, this Dr. Bernard Nathanson, he was there at the beginning with Betty Friedan when she started this baby-killing organization. And he was involved himself in some 60,000 abortions in the 1970s. And he was the inventor of many of the abortion movement's most potent and long-lived neologisms, most notably the phrase pro-choice. He said he wanted a positive-sounding term to contrast with the negative-sounding anti-abortion. By the way, if you have ever seen that documentary called Silent Scream, in which there's an ultrasound of an abortion being abortion taking place on an in utero child. It is this Dr. Nathanson who narrated it. He actually converted from the pro-abortion side to the pro-life side and became one of the pro-life side's best champions. I don't know if that wipes out his decades of participating in the horrible practice of dismembering children in utero, but that's for an authority greater than I to decide. Now, regarding this creating neologism, I fully and confidently confess that I do the same thing. I invent words and phrases that seem to me to capture a big idea or a movement or a general trend. I do it, firstly, because it works. People are better able to remember ideas and notions when those ideas and notions are encapsulated into one, two, three, or four words. I do it, secondly, because it's fun. When I talk about how the federal legislature in Washington, D.C. is conducting war on the American people, I find it fun to use the phrase V.S. Congress. These days, when someone wants to describe something that's very large, they'll sometimes deploy the word ginormous, which is a mashup of the words gigantic and enormous. By the way, back in my Navy days, in the late 70s and early 80s, we used the word gihugic, which was a mashup of gigantic and huge, and that's the one that I use today. I like the word. Anyhow, using such words is fun, is it not? In fact, I'll do it several times in this hour, so be on the lookout. Well, now that all things sodomite have replaced infanticide at the top of the socialist agenda, hetero-haters, who are actually God-haters, have proven themselves to be very clever propagandists. I remember back when their battle cry was, "What goes on in somebody's bedroom is none of your business." I always agreed with that, by the way. But the problem was, they were taking it out of their bedrooms and their bathhouses and their brothels and flaunting it loud and proud. They're still doing that today. Look at any so-called gay pride parade or gay day parade, if you have a strong stomach. And believe me, you do need a strong stomach to look at one of those things. The Gestapo has weaseled its way into public schools to indoctrinate your children. They've even managed to infect mainline churches, and several large denominations have become apostatized because of it. None of our business what gay homosexuals do in their bedrooms. I wish they'd have left it in their bedrooms. In their Frankfurt School march through the institutions, the Homosad has had great success in using language, most notably in the proliferation of the detestable word homophobic and homophobia, words that are designed to draw attention away from the disgusting, ugly, abominable acts of gays. Folks, we got to take a break, so stick around and we'll take up where we left off. See you on the other side. This is Winston Smith on the Political Cesspool.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
A backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Searching, searching, every night and day, if we gotta keep on the run, follow the sun.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
All right, welcome back, my friends. Welcome back to tonight's broadcast, The Political Festival. I'm Winston Smith, sitting in for James Edwards tonight. James, as I said earlier, will be on in the third hour with Mark Weber from the Institute for Historical Review. I think I called it something else in the first segment, but it's actually Institute for Historical Review, a fine organization. What they're going to talk about is Mr. Weber was recently in Guadalajara, Mexico, to address a meeting called the International Identitarian Congress. There were 200 attendees from Argentina, Britain, Germany, Italy, and the U.S. and Spain. And Mr. Weber says it was very impressive. So he and James are going to talk about what went on at the International Identitarian Congress. I'm sure it'll be interesting. And stick around. You can't go wrong when you have Mark Weber on. All right, back to my topic. I had said that, I'll start off with this paragraph. In their Frankfurt School march through the institutions, the Homosad has had great success in using language, most notably in the proliferation of the detestable words homophobic and homophobia, words designed to draw attention away from disgusting, ugly, abominable acts of gays. In 1989, A pair of Harvard homosexuals called Marshall Kirk and Hunter Madsen published a book titled After the Ball, How America Will Conquer Its Fear and Hatred of Gays in the 90s. Therein, they fess up to the strategy of trying to distract people from what homosexuality really is. And this is what they say in this book. Quote, in the early stages of the campaign, the public should not be shocked and repelled by premature exposure to homosexual behavior itself. Instead, the imagery of sex per se should be downplayed and the issue of gay rights reduced as far as possible to an abstract social question. And folks, this kind of thing has been going on since the Frankfurt School, as I mentioned earlier. These cultural Marxists, they try to take an issue of a grieved minority, and they try to make it universal, and they make it something abstract, and they use language to do it. Now, it was breaching that strategy that caused the infamous assault on Duck Dynasty's Phil Robertson. You remember that, right? It wasn't that long ago. In an interview with GQ magazine, Mr. Robertson wondered about how so-called men could be sexually attracted to another man's parts, shall we say. Got to keep it clean. In other words, Phil Robertson put the sex, the sickening, aberrant, abnormal sex, back into homosexuality. Now, that's something the Gestapo could not abide. They have spent years trying to get the American public to look at their relationships as loving families. They're just like us. They're the same as us, when we know they're not, and they know they're not. But Phil Robertson reminded people what homosexuality really is. It's men enjoying or pleasuring themselves with other men's bodies, and women doing likewise with other women. There is no way any normal person could look at that or consider that without being absolutely repulsed. And hence the Almighty calls it an abomination. Well, once Mr. Robertson had committed that unpardonable sin, they attacked him like a plague of Egypt. And, as you probably recall, they lost. By the way, this is an aside. I know of no one who is homophobic, that is, afraid of gays. I and my friends, and I'm sure most of the cesspool audience, we are disgusted by them. We are, shall we say, homo-offended by them, homo-nauseated by them, and we're angry at them for what they do in forcing normal, decent people to close their businesses, destroying their lives, destroying their reputations, enforcing Bible-believing churches to violate their conviction and their consciences. Yes, we are all those things, but fear them, we do not. And, my friends, when some specimen of an abomination calls you homophobic, you tell them that they're a hetero-hater, that they are a God-hater, that they are a death-lover, and they will never be accepted as anything other than a plague. Yes, it's true. Every week, it seems like, we hear or read of some state that has succumbed to the homosod and has been forced to adopt what is being euphemistically called gay marriage or marriage equality. But they're not winning because they're changing hearts and minds. They're winning because they're changing the federal judiciary. I'll talk a little bit more about that a little later. Well, getting back to the words used by progressives, leftists, Marxists, Democrats, and other liberals, the latest Al-Qaeda propaganda is quote-unquote marriage equality. We've all heard of that that repugnant Islamic group in Africa called Boko Haram. We have an equivalent here in America called Boko Homo. I just made that up. The homosexual equivalent of Boko Haram. Now, they don't use the phrase gay marriage anymore. They prefer marriage equality. And the purpose of the notion is to force an association between gamosexuals and normal people. I call it marriage mockery. Feel free to use it. Another catchphrase of the Gestapo is, be on the right side of history. Now, I have to say, that is a great sounding line. It really is. There is so much to recommend it, except for the fact that it's being used by the Gestapo in an illegitimate way. But what does it mean? What does it mean to be on the right side of history? Well, we can answer that partly by talking about what's the wrong side of history, according to the Gestapo. Generally, being on the wrong side of history is disagreeing with any point of the homosexual agenda. Specifically, these days, it's opposing marriage mockery. All right, folks, time for a break at the bottom of the hour. So stay with me, and we'll be back whenever we return. Whenever I get to work with Stephanie, then it's time to go back on the air. Mr. Smith on the Political Cesspool. See you in a moment.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you sick and tired of just being sick and tired? Are you sick and tired of being told that you were somehow privileged? Are you sick and tired of being told to shut up, both at work and at school? Are you sick and tired of panhandlers pestering you whenever you go out to shop or to eat? Are you sick and tired of jobs that never come and an economy that never goes anywhere? Are you sick and tired of having to take orders from incompetence? Are you sick and tired of movies and television shows that depict a white man as a bumbling incompetent? Are you sick and tired of a government that welcomes non-white immigrants and exposes you to diseases? If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, then the American Freedom Party is for you. Connect with us, theamericanfreedomparty.us. Once again, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
Each week, the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. You, a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars, someone not born in Dixieland but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Oh yeah, oh, wanna be by-
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, welcome back to this segment of the Political Cesspool. I'm Weston Smith, once again at the helm of the CSF Cesspool, proudly so. Looking forward to James Edwards coming on in the final hour with Mark Weber from the Institute for Historical Review. We've been talking about certain aspects of the sodomite agenda in America. We've talked about how they effectively use language to as propaganda, and I've introduced you to some words that I've invented. I hope I'm as good at it as they are, but hopefully on the right side of right, rather than being on the right side of history, their version of history anyhow. So what is being on the wrong side of history, according to the Gestapo? As I said, generally, it's disagreeing with any point of the homicide agenda. Specifically, it's opposing marriage mockery. I guess the Gestapo suspects that after the federal Supreme Court vetoes state laws banning marriage mockery, you catch that? Federal Supreme Court vetoing state laws. That shouldn't happen. By the way, we hear talk of the constitutional separation of church and state, which doesn't exist. However, there is a very strong and very high separation of federal and state. God would that we get governors who would exercise that. But gays figure that once the Supreme Court vetoes all state laws banning marriage mockery, suddenly people will be enlightened to the supposed virtues of marriage mockery. And they'll wonder how they ever came to think that it was disgusting and odious. And they'll beg forgiveness from marriage mockers. You know, marriage mockers often point to the notorious Loving versus Virginia decision, in which the federal Supreme Court invalidated state laws banning miscegenation. That decision was based in part on the 14th Amendment, which is one of the Reconstruction laws passed after Honest Abe Lincoln's War on the South. And the purpose of the 14th Amendment, in part, was to grant citizenship to Africans in America. The 14th Amendment has been the basis for many notorious SCOTUS decisions, such as Roe v. Wade, which has resulted in millions upon millions of murders of preborn children. The 14th Amendment was cited in the notorious Brown versus Board of Education decision, which has resulted in the current level of excellence we see in American public schools today. All that and more, much more, from a law that was meant to give citizenship to Africans in America. Be on the right side of history, says the Gestapo. What happens if you're not willing to be on the Gestapo side of history? Well, the news of late has been full of stories about what happens. Christian photographers forced out of business by the Gestapo for refusing to take pictures of marriage mockery ceremonies. Christian bakers forced out of business by city governments because they don't want to make a cake for a marriage mockery ceremony, and the Gestapo couldn't abide that. Christian ministers are under attack by the Gestapo and Gestapo-led city governments for refusing to participate in marriage mockery ceremony. Remember what happened to Chick-fil-A? You know, the president, in that incident, the president of Chick-fil-A did not say a word about gay marriage. He didn't say a word about anything of the gay agenda. All he said was that they believe in traditional marriage. That's it. And we all know what happens there. The floodgates opened. The protest ensued. Fortunately, they were a little less boring than recent other protests that we have seen. But we saw this man and his business be slandered and libeled, even though he didn't mention the people who he supposedly offended. And it wasn't a rhetorical device he was using. He was just simply saying, this is what we believe. Apparently, according to the Gestapo, you only have the right to believe what you want to believe. Well, every day we see private citizens losing their livelihoods, their ability to support themselves, all because the Gestapo creates a situation by which they can bully and thug and destroy the lives and reputations of people who disagree with them. But you see, you have to agree with them to be on the right side of history. Let's talk about history for a second. History is a tortured thing, and by history I don't mean the events that comprise the story of humanity, but rather I mean history as a discipline, history as the work of investigation, gathering data, and writing about it, chronicling it for the benefit of generations that come after us. History is a noble pursuit. Unfortunately, like anything these days, history has become a political tool. Someone once said that history is written by the victors. Someone once said that history is a collection of agreed-upon lies. George Orwell said, famously, he who controls the past controls the future, and he who controls the present controls the past. Well, let's look at a little bit of history here. In the 1930s in Germany, so we're told, the National Socialists decided to make life hard on Jews, a group of people with whom they disagreed on a great many number of issues. From 1933 to 1934, legislation was passed that limited the participation of Jews in German public life. A law called the Law for the Restoration of the Professional Civil Service said Jews and politically unreliable civil servants and employees were to be excluded from state service. Other legislation limited Jewish participation in the medical and legal professions. Jewish lawyers and notaries were not allowed to work on legal matters. In some areas of Germany, Jews could no longer slaughter animals according to ritual purity requirements. That is, they weren't allowed to practice their religion, you see. That sound familiar? I'll go through the list again of what's happening today. Christian photographers forced out of business. Christian bakeries forced out of business. Christian ministers are under attack because they don't want to participate in marriage mockery ceremonies. People are being denied their ability to support themselves. They can't hold jobs. They can't practice their religion. All because a bunch of militant, belligerent sodomites who comprise about 2% of the population in America have seized control of federal judiciaries and many state legislatures. There's going to come a time when we in America will talk about how this, how a small, vocal, belligerent gang of thugs and bullies took over a national government, and clapped down on free speech, prosecuted people who disagreed with their agenda, they deprived dissidents of their right to support themselves and their families. Hang on, folks, I'll finish this up when we come back.
Let's hang on and come back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Extendivite really works. Here is what people are saying.
Oh, I had a problem with breathing. When I stopped to do some walking, I had a problem. I had a heart attack, my second one. I take this pill and I feel great.
I had 3 bypasses 10 years ago, and I was in bed almost 24 hours a day, and painkillers out of this world. I started taking this. I'm down to almost no painkillers at all, and it helped my circulation 100%. My medical doctor, and I went to see him, and he could not believe it. There's no way it went down that fast. He could not believe it. I showed him what I was taking. He said, don't stop taking it. I wouldn't do it over. It's unbelievable.
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
Two days that can save your life. The Preppers and Patriots Expo, Baxter County Fairgrounds, Mountain Home, Arkansas, May 30th and 31st, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. 36 expert speakers covering emergency medicine, survival food, water filtration, wilderness survival, solar power, wind power, gardening, self-defense, archery. See a pickup truck that runs on firewood, no gasoline needed. Learn suturing and save a life. What herbs can replace pharmaceuticals? Ham radio, home steam engines. Don't be scared. Be prepared with 2 days that can save your life. Free admission, a family event. Children are welcome. PreppersandPatriots.net. Only a few vendor tables left. Call 417-264-2435. 417-264-2435.
Get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, welcome back to this evening's final segment of the second hour of the Political Cesspool. I'm Winston Smith. It's been a great pleasure to spend this hour with you. I trust you've benefited from it. I've certainly enjoyed it. We don't have much more time in this segment, in this hour, so let's get back to it. But first, I want to remind you that coming up in the third hour, James Edwards and Mark Weber from the Institute for Historical Review are going to discuss Mr. Weber's recent trip to Guadalajara to an identitarian conference. the word identitarian, that really appeals to me. I wish I could hear what the what they're going to be talking about, but that word identitarian is very evocative to me, and I suspect it has something to do with nationalist identities and things like that. So stick around for that. I'm sure it's going to be very informative, and it's going to be entertaining, as things always are when James Edwards is in the house or on the air. All right, let's get back to what I was talking about. Here we are, folks, and we see the Homosad, the Al-Qaeda militants, the Gestapo, bludgeoning people into compliance with their agenda, even though they are less, about 2%, maybe less, of the population. And, you know, they can't do what they do without the help of straight people. Now, during the so-called civil rights era, the black population was a lot less than it is now. So they could not have accomplished what they accomplished on their own. They had to have help, and that help came in the form of self-hating whites. And I have to wonder about the mental processes of straight people who would help the belligerent sodomite army, if you will, belligerent sodomite community, destroy the lives and reputations of normal people. It's traitorous, as I see it. Well, anyhow, we see the similarities between the Homosad and what the National Socialists were doing in Germany in the 1930s, and they are absolutely similar. They're doing the same thing. Why is it that when Germany, when National Socialists, and by the way, the National Socialists were a very small minority in Germany at the time, when they were doing what they were doing to Jews, making it impossible for them to earn a living, making it impossible for them to defend themselves, making it impossible for them to support themselves and their families, why is that evil? But when militant sodomites are doing it in America today, it's all right. At the beginning of this discussion, I said that they are very good at coming up with words and phrases that amount to calling good evil and evil good. How is it that what they're doing can be considered good? And how is it that agreeing with them puts one on the so-called right side of history? Folks, my previous article on the Cesspool blog, which, by the way, James posted a first draft, not the final product, and he still has not put up the finished product, which is much better than the first draft. I titled that Living in the Past, and therein I explained how the progressive, so-called progressive left and blacks in the U.S. hypocritically accuse white Southerners and Christians of, quote, living in the past, unquote. Now, I got to say this. The militant sodomite community is not only living in the past, they are reliving the past. They have taken what was going on in National Socialist Germany in the 1930s. They have transplanted it to America. And they've gotten away with it, unopposed. There'll come a time in the future we'll talk about, as I said, the small gang of thugs that took over an entire country. But we won't be talking about National Socialist Germany. We won't be talking about Hitler. We won't be talking about Goebbels. We're talking about the likes of Barack Hussein Obama and Joe Biden. We're talking about the likes of Hillary Clinton. That's being on the right side of history. I'll take the wrong side of history. Thank you very much. All right, thank you for staying with me on that. I trust you gathered some good information. I trust you gathered a couple of new words. Feel free to use them. I haven't copyrighted them. Roam around. I remember when Sam Adams, the brewery, decided that they were going to pull support from the Boston St. Patrick's Day Parade because the organizers of the parade would not let gays march as gays. You know, it's not a gay parade. It's an Irish parade. It's not a gay Irish parade. It's an Irish parade. So the organizers decided that they would not allow groups to march under any identity other than Irish. And so many sponsors pulled their support. And there was a fight going on the Sam Adams Facebook page, and I inserted myself into it. And when I deployed the word hetero hater, it was like waving the red flag in front of the bull. The supporters of Sam Adams pulling out of the Boston St. Paddy's Day Parade, they were livid. They were very angry that I would deploy such a word. And they said it was a new word, it was a made-up word. And I told them, I asked them, where did the word homophobic and homophobia come from? Those are neologisms, and they're certainly not as accurate as is the word hetero hater. So, you know, take these words and deploy them. You can be a troll with them. It gets their goats, and that's worth the price of admission alone. All right, we have a few minutes left, and I'm going to look at some headlines and some news items. And the first one I want to make a comment on is what happened in Waco. Now, I'm from Waco. I grew up in Waco. And these two biker gangs having a shootout at a restaurant or a bar or something that's kind of catered to biker gangs. Well, you know, things got out of hand. And, you know, I've done some research, and I found out that the ATF was there, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. And, you know, they and apparently the local police, they opened fire on these people who were fighting each other, and they were using automatic weapons. Now, that should tell you something. Governments will use automatic weapons on white people who behave badly, but they would not dare to do such a thing in places like Baltimalia and Fergadishu. There are two more words for you. Baltimalia is a mashup of Baltimore and Somalia. Fergadishu, Ferguson, Missouri, and Mogadishu, Somalia. So beware, white people. When you get out of hand, the authorities have no trouble with opening fire on you using automatic weapons. Word to the wise. Here's an item that I found interesting. It's an article titled "Southern Rights: A Small Town's Inability to Acknowledge Its Racism." And apparently in 2009, a photographer named Jillian Laub, L-A-U-B, and that should tell you all you need to know about what's coming. She documented the high school proms in the tiny Georgia community of Montgomery County, which was remarkable because the proms were racially segregated. So the students grew up together and played together and went to Montgomery High together. There had been two separate proms, one for white students and one for black students. And that has been happening since the high school was integrated in 1971. One student said, "It's how it's always been. It's just a tradition." When the prom finally integrated in 2010, Laub returned to further document it, but instead she wound up uncovering a more profound, devastating story of how virulent underlying racism, just tradition, upended the close-knit but troubled community. She found a more complicated story. Blah, blah, blah. But look, here's the point. The title of this article, "A Small Town's inability to acknowledge its own racism. You catch the implication there? It's saying that if you don't believe the words of people who hate you, then you're a racist. All right, folks, that's it for me tonight. Thank you for joining me. Winston Smith on the Political Cesspool. Stay tuned for James Edwards and Mark Weber from the Institute for Historical Review. Thank you very much. I've enjoyed it. Good night, folks. Happy holidays.
Another hour of the Political Cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.